Up next on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, on Sunday, February 10th, 58-year-old U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota announced she was running for president. Then, 6 days later, she held her first presidential campaign stop in the Chippewa Valley at a coffee bar in Eau Claire. Coming up, we'll hear from Senator Klobuchar on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week. Chippewa Valley This Week is a public affairs program of WWIB and WDOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Saturday, February 16th, Amy Klobuchar was in Eau Claire. She kicked off her presidential campaign at a Saturday morning rally at the Shift Cyclery and Coffee Bar on Graham Avenue.
I am just so pleased to be in Wisconsin. Yeah. The state where my mother was born. Yeah. And my mom's parents actually both came here from Switzerland. My grandma came when she was 3. And what do you think her parents did in Racine? Yes, they were cheesemakers. My grandpa came over when he was a little older, and they ended up in Milwaukee. So I literally went to Wisconsin every single year of my life growing up.
Senator Klobuchar told the packed house at Eau Claire's Shift Cyclery and Coffee Bar that she's loved working with Wisconsin Congressman Ron Kind.
We've worked together on some agriculture issues, and most significantly on issues related to invasive species in the Mississippi River. He's been such a leader on that. And my fondest memory is speaking at his big event he did in the summer in a barn. And he made me put on a cheese head. But it was before the days of quick photos, and it appears no one got a photo. But maybe I'm wrong. Okay, I guess that's a challenge.
Moving beyond her intro, Klobuchar explained why she chose to announce her White House bid the previous Sunday on Boom Island in the Mississippi River.
Because we know that river doesn't divide Minnesota and Wisconsin, right? That river goes through Minnesota and Wisconsin and Iowa, and all the rivers of our country unite us. And as I said last Sunday, it is time that we cross the river of our divides and walk over the sturdy bridge that is our democracy to a higher ground in our politics. We need to not just look down all the time, right? Not just look away as much as it is painful to watch what goes on the president's Twitter feed every day, but that's not what we're going to do. Instead, we're going to look at each other and we're going to look up. And we're going to look up at the challenges that we face in this country. And that's what I'm going to be talking about on this campaign. I would mention first the challenge that we see in both Minnesota and Wisconsin of that rural-urban divide, right? You hear about it a lot. And that was one of the points I wanted to make by coming to Eau Claire. Eau Claire is a place of a great university and education, right, Jim?
That's right.
In so many areas. And it is also hard in the middle of a rural area. And then what I've decided to do in our state and what I do all around the country as I run this campaign is go to places that maybe we didn't focus on enough in the last few years. Mm-hmm. And that includes our rural areas. Yeah. That's why the first committee I asked to be on when I got to the United States Senate was the Agriculture Committee. Right. That's why I have led the work, which is so important in this area, on dairy. And in fact, got the amendment through to make sure our farmers were protected under the Margin Protection Program. That may not be a pretty sound bite for the national news. Sorry, Margin Protection Program. But what it is about is knowing the issues that matter to people, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, or independents. And of course, rural areas, it is not just about the farm bill, right? You all know that. It's about making sure that we have hospitals and healthcare that work in areas outside of big metropolitan areas, right? Because not one size fits all. It is about making sure that we have rural broadband that connects all of our households across the country. I pledge to you, as your president, I will make sure that we connect all the households with rural broadband by 2022. So that's one challenge. Another challenge that we have ahead of us is the digital revolution, right? As I said last week, if people out in Washington don't know the difference between a hack and slack, they should get off the digital highway, okay? And Wisconsin has actually showed a lot of the innovation that's going on in the digital area and the work that can be done and companies that can be started. But at the same time, that means we have to prepare for not just the jobs that we have now, but the jobs that we have tomorrow. And that means training people for those jobs and making sure that we don't just have a digital divide when it comes to broadband, but we don't have a digital divide when it comes to our workforce. It also means, finally, saying to those tech companies who for so long have said, hey, trust us, we've got your back, that hasn't worked, right? So we need privacy legislation passed in Washington. Here's another challenge right in front of us that we haven't been up to, and that is the challenge of climate change, right? Last year was the fourth hottest year in the history of recording the hottest years. Okay, that's a long time. All right. So when you look at what's happened, what have we done? What has President Trump done? He's gone backwards. Instead of the Wisconsin state motto, which is
forward.
Okay. So what should we do? Well, on day one as president, I will put us back into the international climate change. In the first 100 days, we will bring back those clean power rules that were sensible, that brought us forward, and those were the rules that the Obama administration put forward that the Trump administration has cut in pieces and put on the cutting room floor. Secondly, we got to bring back the gas mileage standard rules, right?
Yes.
And I will propose sweeping legislation to update our building codes and get us to where we need to go. That's doing something about climate change instead of putting our heads in the sand. The next challenge is income inequality and our economy, right?
Yep.
And yeah, our economy has stabilized through a lot of good workers, a lot of good businesses. But we still aren't where we need to be for so many people. We aren't where we need to be when it comes to health care, and we must bring those premiums down. But we're also not where we need to be where it comes to one thing that all of Washington has sat on the sidelines and let get worse and worse. And that is the cost of prescription drugs. Yeah. The pharma companies think they own Washington. Well, they don't own me. Yeah. We want negotiation of prices under Medicare for seniors. Yes. That 43 million better prices. We want to get less expensive drugs from other countries like Canada. We want to stop the policy where big pharma companies are paying off generics to keep their products off the market. That's called pay for delay. If we do that alone, it saves $2.9 billion in just a few years. That's a bill I have with Senator Grassley of Iowa. A number of these bills are bipartisan bills. We just need the leadership to call them up. We need a president who will take this on instead of a president who claims he wants to do something about pharmaceutical prices and then announces his policy and guess what goes up? Their stocks, okay? That is not something that's going to make a difference. So that is one example. We need to make it easier to afford college. If billionaires can refinance their yachts, you students should be able to refinance your student loans.
Klobuchar told the supportive Eau Claire crowd last week Saturday that we need to have comprehensive immigration reform.
And I view this as an economic issue. 70 of our Fortune 500 companies are headed up by immigrants. 25% of our U.S. Nobel laureate were born in other countries. All right? In a university town, you know this. Immigrants are America, right? They are not a burden on America. They define America. They are America. And what the president just announced yesterday, if you watch this emergency declaration, you know how he's going to pay for that? He's talking about after the Congress, Democrat, Republican, I supported that agreement. We voted for some sensible money for the border for him, okay? Then what does he say? No, that's not enough. And he's going to take money from emergency measures, probably, we don't know yet, but things that are really there to secure our country. Whether it's things with the military or whether it's things with disaster relief, whether it is, you know, fighting fires out in the West or protecting our lands in Florida from hurricanes. Those are the things where he's going to take that money. So I'm just telling you right now, we need to govern not from chaos, but from opportunity. And every single thing I've laid out today in dealing with whether it's income inequality, whether it's education, whether it's the cost of our health care, whether it is climate change, these are the challenges of the day. And none of them are going to happen if we don't deal with the biggest challenge of all. And that is the challenge of our democracy. This is really profound, is to make it easier and not harder to vote. Yeah. really profound is to make it easier and not harder to vote. Automatically register every kid in this country. Taking the dark money out of our politics and passing a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United. Yes. What we saw happen in 2016 with the hacking and the interference in our election, that means passing my bipartisan bills. One of them would make it very clear these ads on the internet that we have to know who's paying for them, right? And what they are. But the other one would say, as we go into 2020, and this is a bill with Senator Langford, whose name has probably never been uttered in a Democratic presidential I am starting it now, a bill with Senator Langford that says, not only you want to put funding, which we did last year, to the states, but let's secure our elections with backup paper ballots.
Yes.
But none of our democracy works if we don't look up and look at each other. So much of what we need to do going forward is to cross those rivers of our divide. I have spent my career literally building bridges, right? Starting with the 35W bridge that collapsed. We built that bridge. But you know what else we did? When it was getting pretty tough to build that bridge to Hudson, Wisconsin, I stood up. It was not easy. And that bridge is one of the most beautiful bridges that we have in the country. That bridge is not a bridge to nowhere. It's a bridge to Wisconsin. I worked on building the bridge from Hastings right over here on the Minnesota side. The bridge over to Wisconsin, Winona, Red Wing, you name it. And that is because... one, we need to fix our crumbling infrastructure, and make sure that we do the right thing and how we fund it and get it done right. But secondly, it's a message, right? That we need to bridge these rivers of our divide. So this is a homegrown campaign. You heard me say it. I do not have a political machine, right? I do not come from money. My mom was a teacher. My dad was a newspaperman. My grandpa was an iron ore miner. And those relatives in Wisconsin, during the Depression, my grandpa worked in a pie shop. And he would get the leftover pie stuff, make jelly, and sell it on a wagon with my mom. Okay? Those are my relatives. That is where I came from. And my mom went to Milwaukee Teachers College. And she moved over to Minnesota because of the teachers union. That is my background. So I don't have what some of these candidates have. And I'm not from the coast. But what I do have is you. And what I do have is grit. And what I do have is families and friends and neighbors. And that incredible grassroots tradition of politics that people don't understand that we have in the Midwest, right? Think about Wisconsin and Minnesota and what we have given the world and the people we have given the world. And I will end with this. I learned politics and ran for office the first time as county attorney with a very important mentor, and that was Paul Wellstone, okay? And he came from nothing on that green bus, and he went around our state and came from behind and shocked the world when he won that election. Well, in his very last election, he had come out and said he had MS, and this was a very difficult time. He was the only one up for election in a tough state that voted against the Iraq War, right? And he did it because he thought it was right, and people thought he wasn't going to be able to win. But he was going to win that campaign. And that summer, that tragic year when he died, right before the election with Sheila, I was running for re-election, and I didn't have an opponent. And I got to campaign with Paul everywhere, and I got to see what he would do. Whereas he used to run back and forth really fast in those parades, at the end, because of his MS, he couldn't do that. So he would stand on the back of the bus and wave, right, with Sheila. But there were so many people in those green shirts running around the bus that no one even noticed he wasn't running himself. So that is what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to give our staff and our incredible grassroots campaign that energy. I can't do everything. I can't be everywhere, although I like to try. And so I'm asking you to join our grassroots campaign so we can take back America.
Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar, some highlights of her presidential campaign rally at the Shift Cyclery and Coffee Bar on Graham Avenue in Eau Claire last week, Saturday, February 16th. On this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. Access the podcast at WWIB.com. I'm Mark Halverson.